The low-ceilinged cook shack was filled with a dozen or so raucous wranglers, the low rumble of overlapping conversations, and the smells of sweat, dust, and tobacco. Overriding it all was the mingled aroma of frying bacon, boiling coffee, and pancakes scorching on a griddle. When Buckhorn and Obi walked in, everything stayed the same, except for the low rumble of talk. Suddenly, the hiss of the frying bacon seemed very loud.
The gathering storm.
Without changing his expression or turning his head, Buckhorn cut his gaze first to one side of the room and then to the other, scanning faces and reading body language, looking for any sign of trouble coiled to spring loose. Off to his right, seated with their backs to the wall, he spotted Micah Danvers and his men, Dave and Hank. Their eyes met his, and their expressions registered faint bemusement. They knew something. Obi kept walking, slow but steady, down a middle aisle that ran between tables and benches on either side, making his way toward a particularly long table positioned across one end of the kitchen area. The top of the table was crowded with a stack of clean plates, eating utensils, and several pans of food. Buckhorn, walking behind Obi, glimpsed bacon, scrambled eggs, and flapjacks, among other things, but mostly he continued to scan the faces and bodies surrounding him. They got to the edge of the table.
You may go ahead and fill your plate, old one. Eat as much as you wish. For you, Rasa, it would only be a waste of good food. Because you are not going to live long enough to digest it.
Buckhorn took his time turning around. His gaze came to rest on a dark-skinned man of medium height, standing in the middle of the aisle they had just walked down. The man's feet were planted wide, his eyes narrowed into dangerous, intensely focused slits. A tied-down holster of shiny black leather adorned with silver studs rode low on his right hip. A Colt with bleached white pearl grips rested loose in the holster. The man's right hand, covered by a skin-tight glove of the same shiny black leather as the holster, hovered close at his side, ready to hook and draw.
And you are the reason I'm not going to live long enough to digest my breakfast? That the general idea?
That is exactly the idea.
Since you're so certain of the outcome, I guess you obviously don't believe in the practice of allowing the condemned man a hearty final meal.
Like I said, it would only be a waste of good food.
How about you? Did you eat?
Yes, I did. It was very enjoyable. Fortunately, I will have plenty of time to digest it.
Obi addressed Micah and his two cohorts.
What's going on here? What's the big idea? You three set this up, didn't you?
Calm down, Obi. You get yourself too worked up, your food ain't gonna digest good either, no matter how long you got. As far as Mr. Gonzalez's issue with your friend Buckhorn, that's strictly his own doing. I'm hearing it play out for the first time, same as you.
Gonzalez kept his eyes fixed on Buckhorn.
I have no quarrel with the old one, but you should advise him that if he keeps blabbering to the point of annoying me, I may decide to change my mind.
Comes to talking, or blabbering, as you say, the old gent is sort of hard to turn off.
That is unfortunate.
Comes to unfortunate, I got no problem killing you, since you're working so hard to earn it. But before I do, care to explain the why of it?
The question of which of us is capable of killing the other is the whole point. Mrs. Danvers saw fit to hire you, an outside gun, when I was already here. Perfectly able to do anything you can. That offends me. Plus, it takes money that I could have earned and puts it in your pocket instead of mine. I intend to show her the error of her ways by demonstrating that I am faster and better than you. Then, when you have been removed, she will see the wisdom of hiring me in your place.
That was quite a mouthful. For a minute there, I thought you figured on talking me to death.
The talking that counts most, I do with the gun from my hip.
Let's get to it then. You figure on slapping leather here, and we step outside.
By then, the other men in the room had edged back wide of the aisle where Buckhorn and Gonzalez stood faced off.
You are a tall one, senor, but there is plenty of room right here for you to fall.
For those watching, it seemed like several heartbeats passed with the two men frozen in place, glaring at one another, poised for action. In reality, it only took a second before hands blurred too fast for the eye to follow. Buckhorn's Colt was leveled and aimed. Gonzalez's had only just cleared leather and hadn't yet started to rise. Buckhorn's slug struck just below Gonzalez's chin and snapped his head back as the Mexican pitched backward. It was only then that his gun spoke, trigger finger spasming reflexively in death. With the bluish gun smoke still roiling in the air, Buckhorn swung the muzzle of his Colt and brought it to bear on Micah, Dave, and Hank.
You wantin' any of this?
Three sets of hands shot into plain view, palms open and empty.
Nothing doing here, mister. It's like I told Obi. All of that was strictly the crazy Mexican's play. You can leather that hog leg now. You too, Obi.
For the first time, Buckhorn became aware that Obi had drawn his revolver and was sweeping it around the room, covering the gunman's back. Their eyes met. Buckhorn gave a simple nod, signaling his gratitude. Only then did they pouch their irons.